Of course, while at Lambeth, we moved there in late 1939, and ultimately the Battle of Britain took place. I was about, I think, at that time, getting on 16 or 17, and we used to follow the course of the battle on the radio, and I always remember a marvellous score by the RAF of 183 aircraft, German aircraft, shot down, which turned out to be a little on the high side. But I remember all the boys were cheering and were very chuffed at that happening.
1940, I found myself stationed at Duxford, and the actual time of the Battle of Britain. Duxford was in, I think it was known as 12th Group, which really looked after the air control of the Midlands, really. But below it was 11th Group, and both were obviously in close relation. The radio operator was at the back of the control room. The control room consisted of a plotting board with WAF lady plotters, a senior RAF officer controller. Alongside him would sit an army officer, and I've got a vague recollection of a naval presence, but I'm not too sure about that. But anyway, behind all this, maintaining the air traffic conversation and recording it were the radio operators. I spent a couple of months, I think it was, during the Battle of Britain. I can remember dogfights up above, and Duxford itself was bombed and damaged once or twice, but I wouldn't have described it as being heavily bombed as I was to experience later in my RAF career, where I spent most of the war on a different branch of radio operating in the island of Malta.
I remember the Blitz very clearly, the Battle of Britain. I saw dogfights occasionally overhead, and then I was conscripted into the WAF and started off at Hornchurch in the ops room, but wasn't there long before the ops room was closed down and were all transferred to North Weald.
What were you doing at Hornchurch?
I was a plotter.
And what does that mean?
You wore the headphones and you got a table, a plotting table, and you had lots of little arrows of different colours, and every 5 minutes they were changed. You plotted the position of the hostiles and the friendlies, and I didn't do that for long because they knew that I had drawing office experience, and so I was asked to assist the draftsman, who was a great one for playing table tennis if anyone was off duty. So I assisted him for a week and I was deemed responsible, and he was posted overseas and I took over all the work of the drawing office. But we weren't there for long when we were transferred to North Weald. The ops room there was a big country house called Blake Hill, away from the airfield for obvious reasons. And it looked like a big country farm. There were cattle grazing in the fields, and our huts were Well, it was called the rockery because we were amongst the trees, so we weren't really noticed from the air. And the rooks used to roost in the tops of the trees. That's why we were called the rookery. And it was very interesting work there.
The Battle of Britain, of course, when the air war did get going, we saw, I suppose, quite a lot of it in London. And the coastal towns, like, for instance, Cardiff, for instance, was right in their sights. But anyway, it seemed in London we did get a lot of air activity there. We could see the Germans coming over. No, the first we saw of them, of course, was they used to come over at night. And we knew they were Germans by the sounds of their engines. But at the time, there seemed to be no anti-aircraft activity at all. And the people would be out in the street saying, "Where's the guns? Where's the guns?" And they were really bitter about it. There was no opposition to these aircraft. They were flying around. But the thing was, they didn't drop any bombs. They must have been on reconnaissance, you see. Weighing the job up. And then suddenly, from being no air activity, from somewhere they produced and set up a terrific gun barrage. And everybody was out in the street cheering the guns, not thinking of falling shrapnel from the shells, which could have killed you. Certainly, well, there were a lot of people killed through falling shrapnel. But it really put a new life into the people that at last they've started doing something about it.
And of course, being young and dull, I think I knew where every bomb dropped in Pembrokeshire, because I used to go there and have a look. I had to go and have a look, right nosy. But one night in particular, they were dropping the bombs, and I was standing outside the door as usual. Most of the firemen were inside. And I spotted this big parachute coming down. And I said, "Oh, look," I said, "there's a parachute coming down." Next minute, there was this almighty flash, purple and blue. And I can remember that like today. It punched, the blast punched me in the chest. I went flying backwards. I don't remember no more after that, but apparently the men said I went past them like a rocket into the fire station, behind the fire engine, and finished up in the corner. And of course, with all the stuff that was on the shelves, it all came down on top of me, and pots of paint and all that, but luckily none of them opened up. But I don't remember any more about it until I woke up in the control room on one of the camp beds, and one of the telephone girls washing my mouth out and my face, because there was so much dust everywhere. I was nearly blinded with it. And I got up, none the worse. Once I got on my feet, I was okay.